Isn't this a sports show?
Back to sports.
Thank you. Every caller.
Almost entirely.
But he is a bipartisan bleep talker. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be known as a bipartisan bleep talker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I gain energy by talking. I'm a plant in that way, and my photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
You know they're probably not going to talk about on ESPN? Too many spider bullets.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe. Follow me, then destroy me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Listen, we were going to start with the Royals today. I was mentally and emotionally preparing myself for that to happen. But the Chiefs had other plans. I mean, they're not huge plans. We'll probably talk about the Royals at some point today, maybe. I don't know. But the Chiefs have released offensive lineman Ja Reed. Blockbuster? No, I mean, to be expected, I think, largely. That was something we tossed around yesterday after the Cameron Irving trade. And Cameron Irving has been largely considered to be terrible by Browns fans and Chiefs analysts alike. Later on, we're going to look at Seth Kaiser's breakdown of Cameron Irving. But literally, just moments ago, the Chiefs announced that they cut Ja Reed. And this confirms that the Chiefs see Cameron Irving as a swing tackle, first and foremost. They've also reportedly been interested in him as a backup center, which I find very interesting because Zach Fulton, I think, is a very capable backup center. Mitch Morse is a very capable starting center. But as much as the Chiefs like to play six offensive linemen, as frequently as they tend to implement those swing tackles in that way, the Chiefs basically got a younger, cheaper, more athletic, but also much less polished option in Cam Irving. So today, they cut Ja Reed. It's also a financial move that makes a lot of sense. It saves about $2.75 million, a little more like $2.8 million to cut Ja Reed. The Chiefs add about $3 million then to their cap space. And it costs about $750,000 in dead cap money, according to Over the Cap, which is where I usually go for all of my my salary cap analysis needs. So the Chiefs will break the $10 million mark in the amount of dead cap money that they will be dealing with this year. That's not the best part of this interaction. But it's true. They'll have, according to Over the Cap, $5 million in Jay Howard, about $2.5 million in Jeremy Maclin, $750,000 in Josh Malga. They'll have $750,000 in Ja Reed, $600,000 in Kavari Russell, $250,000 in Ramique Wilson, who I guess is also back on the team. So they will be paying $10 million in cash to guys who do not currently work for the team, or at least have new contracts in Ramique Wilson's case. Also, Ja Reed at a $3.5 million cap hit this year was pretty high up there for the Chiefs. He was like eyeballing it, a top 10, top 15 cap hit for this team. Derek Johnson was making $3.5 million. Still is, of course. But that's kind of a surprise to see how Ja Reed's contract elevated in it. It touches on something that we talked about yesterday a little bit, that I can't stand spending big money on swing tackles, swing veteran backup offensive linemen. I just don't get it. I don't like investing that way. And listen, if you end up losing guys and all of a sudden you end up having to start Laurent Duvernay-Tardif before he's ready, then you hope that you got it right. You start Parker Ingram very early, you hope you get it right. The Chiefs in both of those instances seem to have done pretty well with those gambles. They're in a place now also with a guy like Zach Fulton, where he's gotten a lot of playing time in his time with the Chiefs. Those are values, and I've been talking about this for months, especially these last couple of days, because it just is especially relevant now after the Lions gave that huge contract to Matt Stafford. The NFL is a value game. If you're not getting guys at a value, at a ton of important positions, you're going to have an extremely hard time building a contender. And as crazy as it is, right now, guys like Tom Brady has a $14 million cap hit this year. He is a value. Is Matthew Stafford a pretty good quarterback? Yeah. Is he a value at being the highest paid player in football? Absolutely not. Neither is Derek Carr. Neither is Alex Smith. Neither is Kirk Cousins. And you've got to find places to get a value. And the reason this all sort of ropes together for me is that the easiest place to get a big chunk of value is to be paying your quarterback $4 million instead of $24 million. That's the difference you're looking at between Patrick Mahomes and Kirk Cousins right now. With Deshaun Watson and Kirk Cousins, however you want to put it. You can pick up enormous value with the young, cheap, rookie deal quarterbacks. The Chiefs have it in some places. They're working on bringing it back with the offensive line. It seems like that might be a place that Brett Veach is interested in finding more value. They have it at corner. Marcus Peters, Terrence Mitchell. I would be happy to see them invest in another guy because I'm worried about Mitchell's hamstring, and eventually they're going to have to pay Marcus Peters. They do not have any value at the linebacker position. We went over that yesterday as I read that one chart poorly. The Chiefs, I think I said, have more money in their linebackers than any other team in football, and they're getting less production from their linebackers than most teams. And Derek Johnson has been hurt. Tom Bahali has not been anything. Justin Houston has not given you anything. Dee Ford has been probably the best value on the team, other than a guy like maybe Ramiq Wilson. But so you bring in Reggie Ragland. You bring in Kevin Pierre-Lewis. You have Ramiq Wilson here. The Chiefs aren't just trying to have an influx of younger players on this team. They're trying to bring in an influx of value. That's where I see the Chiefs going right now. And so cutting Ja Reed today, again, that's the breaking news of literally moments before the show began. People were just yelling it down the hallway because that's how sports radio stations work. Somebody sees it on Twitter. Somebody says to somebody else, hey, Ja Reed got cut. And then somebody else, Ja Reed got cut!
Did you hear Ja Reed got cut?
Thank you! Beard is in today, by the way. You got some love on Twitter. Did you see that? Did I tag you in any of that?
In what, exactly?
Tweets calling you out by name on Twitter as a compliment.
I did not see these, I don't think.
Here we go. This is from Clint. Said, throwing in the absolutely laugh my bleep off at your insanity, Beards, mad love, dog. I literally await every podcast. Keep on. And then I quoted it and said something like, the praise keeps rolling in. Here's a link to the podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're hot stuff.
Oh, so you just used it as self-promotion for yourself. I see how it is.
Well, then he followed up saying, there you go, thinking you're God's gift. You suck. You're terrible. Beards is worse.
Ouch.
I also just realized that I saw his tweet after that about the mannequin, trying to pick up the mannequin arms thing. That is ideal. Ty DeClaire, he's Ty DeClaire 44, a longtime supporter of the podcast, longtime supporter of the show before there was ever any live show, tweeted in and said, if I wasted $10 million, my father would be very, very disappointed in me. And that is hard to do. Not hard to disappoint his father. I'm guessing that Ty has disappointed his father plenty of times. But, My father would also, I think, be very disappointed in me if I just blew $10 million. And I spent a lot of yesterday talking about Brett Veach. We'll probably do some more of that today, because the more you sort of dive into what's going on here, I think the more interesting it gets. My knee-jerk reaction to the Chiefs hiring Brett Veach, a guy who essentially got his career started under Andy Reid, was that Brett Veach was going to come in and be kind of an Andy Reid flunky. Even though Andy Reid has said he doesn't want to handle personnel stuff. So the direction I was going in at the time was to say he's going to handle the personnel stuff, especially that bottom of the roster, middle of the roster stuff. Now, if Andy Reid really wants to fight him on something, then I'm guessing that Clark Hunt would let Andy Reid make a call on something large scale. But the stuff that's been going on here these last couple of weeks, DJ Alexander for Kevin Pierre-Louis, Cameron Irving for that draft pick, cutting Ja Reid, Reggie Ragland for the draft pick, cutting Josh Malga. Those are Brett Veach moves, I think. I mean, I don't see Andy Reid getting in Brett Veach's ear and say, "Hey, you got to go get that Ragland kid from Buffalo." I don't see that. And we've seen so much action in this last week or so. You can go back to the Kevin Pierre-Louis trade. We've seen so much action since Brett Veach has taken over that I think we're seeing Brett Veach not lashing out against the idea that it's Andy Reid's team, but just I don't think he's doing this purposefully to say, "Hey guys, pay attention to me." But I do think if you look at it correctly, you see Brett Veach working here. And I think that's interesting. Now listen, it's your what? It's your fourth linebacker. It's your sixth, seventh, or eighth offensive lineman. It's your other fifth linebacker, I guess. He's not making huge moves yet, and again, I'm getting very interested about a couple of things coming up. I'll touch on, but the more moves like this come through, I think the more you can see Brett Veach putting his fingerprints on this team. Now, again, there are two positions that I keep waiting to see the Chiefs make a move for, being wide receiver and cornerback, because those are the two places right now that I have the most concern about. And I shouldn't say that. I think the Chiefs would also have a concern about that, because why would they? Or if they did, we would have seen it by now. The question is, does Brett Veach see a problem there? John Dorsey didn't. John Dorsey looked at what this team had, and he said, "All right, we're going to add Jehu Chesson, and we're not going to bring in any corners, and we're going to be good. We're going to be good to go." This is me projecting. I hope. We see Brett Veach at the helm of this team making some more aggressive moves by way of receivers and corners. And there are going to be so many players out there. In fact, there was a tweet from Adam Schefter. He said, by Saturday, 32 NFL teams will release roughly 37 players per team. 1,184 lost jobs, up to 320 back to practice squad, but no more for 864. There are going to be 1,100, nearly 1,200 players released between now and Saturday. The Chiefs are absolutely going to be bringing in other guys. And we'll talk about tonight's preseason game a little bit here later on. And we got a lot of good stuff planned today, actually. We're going to talk to Matt Waldman of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. He's a Football Guy staff writer. We'll talk to him later. And he did a great breakdown of Pat Mahomes. We'll talk about him. And also Kareem Hunt. Also, Adam Teicher has written about the Chiefs. I want to look at what he did a little bit. And Deadspin's Why Your Team Sucks article is out. We're going to get to all of those things. I think what we'll probably do at this point, frankly, is just we'll get to the Royals at the end of the show if we have more time to fill. Because that's how I feel about the Royals at this point. They lost last night. Actually, here, hold on. If you're a Chiefs fan, don't turn it off the station. Don't close the podcast. Hold on for literally 30 seconds. The Royals lost yesterday. Oh, hold on. Beards told me to wait. What am I waiting for?
I'm going to get the shot clock sound effect.
Okay.
We're so the shot clock, so this is actually timed.
Okay. How long is our shot clock? Do we have a 24-second shot clock? All right, let me talk about this receiver thing, and then I'll get back to the Royals in a 24-second shot clock. Is the shot clock ready? All right. I'm going to give you... I'm not ready yet. Start that over. I'm gonna set it up. I'm going to give you 24 seconds of Royals talk, and they're going back to the Chiefs, because that's about where they are right now. The Royals lost a bunch of games in a row. They won chance to go against the Rays. They're off today. They won. They lost last night to the Rays. Jason Vargas doesn't look good. They definitely got arrested for DUI. Jake Junis is the only pitcher any good. There are pitching problems. There are hitting problems. And today, the Angels traded for Justin Upton. They're a team above the Royals right now. The Royals en route to a second wild card spot. Every team in front of them is a huge hurdle. And they are way down. They're 4.5 games back in Minnesota. There it is. At the very most, we'll do that once a segment. At the very most. Or at the end of the show if we burn out on Chiefs stuff, which I have a feeling we probably won't do. So that's the show for today. That's your Royals talk for today. But so with over 1,000 guys, 1,100 guys being released between now and Saturday, one of the things I'm going to be keeping an eye on tonight in the game is the young wide receivers. But I'm not just watching these receivers competing against each other. I'm going to watch these receivers also competing against the rest of the NFL. DeMarcus Robinson, Shontavious Jones, Marcus Kemp, Derek Dieter, all of those guys are competing for the Chiefs' last wide receiver spot. Behind Hill, Conley, Chesson, Anthony Thomas. I want to say that Albert Wilson's on the outside of that group. I want to say he's the last of those five to get a job. But of DeMarcus Robinson, Shontavious Jones, Marcus Kemp, Derek Dieter, of those four guys and everybody below them on the depth chart, I think there's a really good chance that none of them make this team. Because this team has some specific needs still. I would say this team could absolutely use a more veteran wide receiver presence. But the biggest thing I think this team needs offensively is some speed. Andy Reid, I thought, loved to have fast guys. You want to have fast pass catchers. They have Tyreek Hill. Then what? DeAnthony Thomas, I guess, is the second fastest guy on this roster, but he cannot play Tyreek Hill's role. He's not that kind of receiver. And at least he's not used that way. Unless there's some transition that we haven't seen through all of training camp, all of practices, all of the preseason. Yeah, I don't think that's happening. So I think with 1,100 guys getting cut, the Chiefs will be adding a receiver. I think they'll be adding a cornerback at least one of each of those things and maybe some more stuff too. But beyond all of that, I think the Chiefs could be making a move by way of a draft pick sometime soon. Again, I know they've been doing that already, but Brett Veach has shown his hand. He's not afraid to say, here's a pick in 2018, here's a pick in 2019. We're going to go ahead and let that go. Because we need this guy now. And the Chiefs have, what, the 27th waiver claim? You have the 27th waiver claim. You are saying that you need 26 teams in front of you to pass on a guy before you get a shot at him. So unless the Chiefs just look at every receiver that gets cut before Saturday, or by Saturday, whenever that is on Saturday, unless they look at all those guys and say, ah, these guys are all the same, I think there's a very good chance they'll go to a team. This is completely random. But they go to the Giants, because I know they have a couple of super talented receivers. They go to the Giants and say, hey, we know that you're going to cut your fourth guy, your fifth guy, either because of cap space, because of where they are in the roster, whatever. Let us give you a sixth-round pick next year for him. Get something. Don't worry about any dead money. And give us that raw, speedy guy. I think there's a chance that the Chiefs are not yet done making moves. So the news of the day, the Chiefs cut Ja Reed, saves almost $3 million, costs about $750,000 in dead cap money, according to Over the Cap. It's logical. They just brought in Cameron Irving. That's the new swing tackle of the future, a guy who was widely panned in Cleveland, and a guy who the Browns fans were happy to get rid of. But he is now brought into the fold. We'll talk about tonight's game a little bit later on. At 5 o'clock, we're going to talk to Matt Waldman, creator of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio, about his views on Patrick Mahomes. He did a great breakdown that you can find on YouTube if you just Google Matt Waldman, Patrick Mahomes. It's an hour long, and there's a lot of really good stuff in there, so we'll talk to him about all of that, and then also Kareem Hunt. Plus, we want to look at what Adam Teicher said about the Chiefs, but whenever we come back, Deadspin put out there why your team sucks. For the Kansas City Chiefs, we're going to read the internet.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
The headline of this was, Spencer Ware's injury adds to offensive uncertainty. And one of the comments just says, nope.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Okay, Jack R. Powers. Fine. Bleep me. I'm a dope. Durf.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. I'm afraid to let this decision go up to Beards because I know what he's going to say. But actually, I have two bits of reading I want to do today, plus a look at something Adam Teicher did. I enjoy looking at what national people are saying about the Chiefs because I think it helps get us over some of our own biases, what we're seeing because we're so close to it. And NFL, national NFL guys, I think largely don't have any biases towards particular teams. But, you know, sometimes the truth lies in the middle ground, and I'm cool with that. But, so there are two things I want to read today. They're both reasonable lengths. Deadspin's a little longer. But we have the SB Nation Chiefs preview and the Deadspin Why Your Team Sucks Chiefs preview. I haven't read the SB Nation one yet. I have it up. I've read the Deadspin one, and we can do that also. Beards, go ahead and tell me which one you want first. Do you want to have your dessert first?
The fan comments on the Why Your Team Sucks are always the best part.
I actually skimmed through those.
Those are the best thing ever.
I didn't think those were that funny.
This year's wasn't as good as previous years, but they're always still good.
Yeah, if you want to read
the fan
comments.
It's like having a chocolate chip cookie that's not quite as good as other chocolate chip cookies.
Like a Good Sense chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do freaking love Good Sense, though. So that's not, I'm not trying to slander Good Sense. The cookies are just okay. Sandwiches, perfect. I'm not going to read the fan comments, but I will read what Deadspin has written, or I will read what SB Nation has written. We'll probably do both of them today. Beards, pick for me, do you want your dessert first, or do you want your vegetables first?
Let's be healthy for now.
All right, we'll eat our vegetables.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
Zespy Nation's Kansas City Chiefs season preview. Why we're going all the way? The Chiefs are bringing back most of the members of a 12-win team from last season, including Alex Smith, who's essentially in a contract year with young Pat Mahomes waiting in the wings behind him. They have a head coach who's 10th in all-time wins. The defense is still among the league's elite, including the return of Justin Houston, who didn't play much last year. The season is hopeless if this happens. But you're turning on the music tone. It's a little loud today. If the Chiefs lose Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, their offense will not be able to keep up. The Chiefs lost Jeremy Maclin this offseason. I mean, I add parenthetically here. They lost Jeremy Maclin. It's like whenever your dumb little kid takes the family puppy and goes and gives it to a neighbor. She didn't lose the puppy. She gave it away because she was tired of taking care of it.
That's a very specific analogy.
I've never had a puppy given away. It just felt right. The Chiefs lost Jeremy Maclin this offseason, and they have a group of fairly young and untested running backs. We know who Smith is, but without one of their two best playmakers on offense, they simply won't have the firepower to compete in the AFC. That's true. Marcus Peters, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and maybe even Justin Houston all have to stay healthy for this team to have any real shot at anything. Who's your biggest rival and why? The Raiders or the Broncos, depending on the year. This year it's the Raiders, but don't think this means Chiefs fans tolerate John Elway and the Broncos. Oh, I won't think that. I know. The old-school Chiefs-Raiders rivalry is back, and with both teams poised to stay competitive over the next few years, this has the potential to return to being one of the best rivalries in the NFL. What does your team do better than anyone else? Turnovers. The Chiefs are good about not turning it over on offense, and they're good about creating turnovers on defense. Brilliant. And now the payoff. Tailgate food that best describes your team. The Chiefs are pork butts. There's a floor to pork butts. They're hard to screw up. You know they're going to be good on some level, but you need a good rub or even a good barbecue sauce after it's cooked to spice it up a little. Andy Reid is slow and steady, just like that 9-pound pork butt they've been smoking all night in the Arrowhead parking lot. I don't think you're allowed in Arrowhead overnight. I think the gates are closed. But I would agree that the Chiefs are butt. Most of the time. All right, that was reading, featuring SB Nation's national preview. A couple of names didn't show up in there again that I thought would have been worthwhile. Marcus Peters doesn't show up in that description. I think he's as important as anybody on this defense, on this whole team, frankly. And also, the fact that you have, I don't know, four different pieces that just simply cannot get injured. And that guy's, none of those guys are your quarterback. I think that's pretty telling and pretty concerning. I don't love that. But that's what the Chiefs are at this point. And also, to be terribly honest, that was not a stupendous preview by SB Nation. Could have at least given me a, that's a win, that's a loss. Someone who did give us a that's a win, that's a loss is Adam Teicher. He did a predict every game thing for ESPN. I think every beat writer predicted every game for every team. And he had the Chiefs going 11-5. Oh, grouchy, negative Adam Teicher, who hates the team. And Tom Bahaly especially. That tends to be the description of Adam Teicher that I run into very frequently on Twitter. And it's insane. But whatever. He's just he's doing his job and trying to be accurate. And this year, he has the Chiefs at 11-5, which is actually higher than he had them, I think, before all of the offseason drama. I can't remember when the last one was, but maybe it was after the draft, which was before, obviously, firing John Dorsey and before cutting Jeremy Maclin. I'm yawning a lot today, and I don't know why. Anyway, Adam Teicher has the Chiefs going 11-5, which includes them losing at the Patriots, versus the Steelers, at the Raiders, at the Giants, and versus the Dolphins. Has the Chiefs beating the Cowboys in Dallas, sweeping the Chargers, and sweeping the Broncos. The Dolphins game kind of feels like a shot at what's the one game that would be kind of surprising. Oh, yeah, losing at home to the Dolphins late in the season, that'd be a surprise. There's always one of those. What's the surprise win? Yeah, winning in Dallas would be a surprise. That seems fair. So with all of that, I don't have any gripes with that. I haven't figured out exactly how I'm predicting this season to go. Next week is going to be filled with that. I'm trying to decide, actually, and I'd be curious to get some feedback. You can tweet me at Jimmy Briscoe and Beards. I'm curious even what you think here. I'm trying to decide if I want to have Wednesday be a show where we have, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 different Chiefs experts that we've talked to over the last month or so, and we have them just basically line up on the phones and give their predictions, some over-unders, some prop bets, stuff like that. Or if we want to just do a full interview, maybe we even do two a day. Two Monday, two Tuesday, two Wednesday, and two Thursday. As our overloaded Chiefs preview, get everybody on the record and everything.
I like the two a day.
We call it two a days. That's easy. Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, it makes my job easier.
It does make your job easier. I could see the fear in your eyes. You say, all right, I want to get everybody on here for 5 minutes. I want to get 10 people 5 minutes each for a two-hour show on Wednesday. Fine. All right, that's probably what we'll do then. We'll go two-a-days next week, and maybe we'll try, I don't know, 4:30 and 5 is usually back-to-back segments. Yeah, nice 4:30, 5:30, two-a-day. Seriously, next week leading up to the game, we're going to have just like 8 hours of straight-up Chiefs talk. That's a pretty good run. Anyway, with Teicher's 11-5 thing, Teicher's a guy who will level out all of the bull bleep and just say, here's what this looks like. Right now, I'm having a little bit of trouble convincing myself that the Chiefs are going to win 11 games, that they have an 11-win team. If you're going to tell me that every team in the NFL would stay completely healthy this year, then I might go ahead and give you that. But I feel like the Chiefs have so many fragile pieces right now. Like, I'm afraid about how they're going to deal with potentially Terrence Mitchell missing a few games. If his hamstring either keeps him out for a little while longer or if it ends up acting up later on. The Chiefs are kind of fragile in several different places here. Because what's the drop-off if Eric Fisher gets hurt? Oh, God, all of a sudden this guy that the Browns were thrilled to get rid of is starting at left tackle. What if Mitchell Schwartz goes down? Same thing on the right side. What happens if Marcus Peters gets hurt? Hell breaks loose. What happens if you lose Justin Houston, which you've had happen in the last two seasons? Not good news. Tyreek Hill, all of a sudden this offense gets significantly slower. Travis Kelce, this offense loses its one of its two best mismatches, one of its two only consistent mismatches. I got into a conversation on Twitter today about Chris Conley and my pessimism towards Chris Conley, how I kind of roll my eyes at the idea that Conley is some third receiver poised to make a jump this year. I haven't seen the growth from Chris Conley that I guess some of you have. I don't see him as a guy who has an ability to get separation consistently. He can create some separation with his body, but he seems to have bulked up and gotten a little slower and more physical. So I think he can be kind of a chain mover, which obviously gives you a role in the NFL. But I don't see Chris Conley being one of those guys that ends up taking some sort of big explosive step. That math does not work out for me. So what happens if Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill gets hurt? What happens if Marcus Peters gets hurt? What happens if Terrence Mitchell doesn't play? What happens if Justin Houston gets hurt? What happens if you lose Chris Jones? And maybe Chris Jones is a guy you feel like you can live with. Take him off the list. You're still at five guys right now. You're at five non-quarterbacks. Kelce, Hill, Houston, Peters, Mitchell, which is just part of the situation right now. Fisher. Mitch Morse, you could probably replace with Zach Fulton and feel all right about it. I'm cool with that. Schwartz. There are at least, that's seven. There are at least half a dozen guys on this team that I just don't see having a replacement for. And I understand that a lot of teams have that a lot of teams have a few guys. But the Steelers were winning last year whenever Le'Veon Bell was suspended. Remember that? The Broncos just lost Julian Edelman for the entire season. What happens if the Chiefs lose Kareem Hunt? There's eight. The Patriots just lost Julian Edelman for the whole season. They're going to be fine. Frankly, if they lost Brandon Cooks, they'd probably be all right. They've been flawless defensively since Bill Belichick got there. Not flawless, but they've been able to cover up. They've been able to cover up all of their flaws. And I don't see the Chiefs having that in them. You lose Benny Logan. There are six, seven, eight guys on this team that, for my money, are some form of irreplaceable. That's not a good place to find yourself. Concerns me. And I know they're not the only team in the league that has guys you can't replace. But there are some real fears I have with this team. That's the reason that this team going 11-5 makes me cringe a little. That prediction. I sort of draw back. Go, ew, I don't think I see that. But I'm going to, I'll go through the whole schedule and everything again before our official predictions. I'm trying to remember right now. All right, whenever we come back, we will hang around a little bit. Maybe we check out the Deadspin article. And then at 5, we'll talk to Matt Waldman about, largely, Patrick Mahomes.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I just yawned into the microphone. Is that good? Is that good radio?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM, 1510.com. Also, you can listen to the show there, or you can search ESPN 1510 on the TuneIn app on your phone. We are a sister station of Sports Radio 810 WHB, which is in name at the very least. I don't really know the connections between 810 the station and 810 the zone, as in the food place. But tonight, if you are looking for a place to watch the Chiefs and Titans game, go out to 810 Zone Corbin Park. They have a special tonight, $1 Tallboy domestic cans from kickoff until close. Go watch the game out at the 810 Zone. That's where I watched Mayweather and McGregor, and it was a good place for a sporting event, which I guess makes sense. That's kind of the whole point. Are you telling me to talk into the microphone more? I'm trying to get off. Okay, Beards. First of all, this is an audio medium. It's an audio medium. Use the microphone and say things if you're going to interject. Secondly, I'm trying to stay off the microphone a little bit more so I'm not popping all the peas, even though I have a foam cover on this microphone right now that I purchased. Purchased. Don't tell me to get on the microphone. I need a drink. I hurt myself. Look what you've made me do. Look what you just made me do.
I got liner material out of that. That's okay.
You talked over me singing the new Taylor Swift song, so that's a real, it's a real miss for you.
I think that's a win for the audience, though.
No, they couldn't hear me because you're talking so damn loud. So I was going, look what you made me do. Go watch the game tonight at the 8-10 zone. And then, as I was going to get to before Beards so rudely interrupted, you know what? We might not have time to do Why Your Team Sucks this segment. You might have to save that until towards the end of the show. I hope you're happy. I'm putting you in timeout, Beards. As soon as the game ends, but also it's the fourth preseason game, so you're probably going to be, I would guess you'd be heading out of the 8-10 zone. Whenever Joel Stave checks in. But whenever the final seconds tick off the clock, I will be doing the post-game show with Frank Bohl on Sports Radio 810. So as soon as the game ends, go to 810 AM on your dial or 810WHB.com. Listen live to Frank and I talking about the half of Pat Mahomes that we saw. As in, like, the first half. Not like half of Pat Mahomes is going to be out there. And then also at 5 o'clock here, so about 10 minutes from now, we will be talking very in-depth about Patrick Mahomes with Matt Waldman. He's a creative rookie scouting portfolio football guy, staff writer. He did a breakdown of Patrick Mahomes. You can find it on YouTube. It's very, very good. And he had a lot to say about Mahomes that I'm very excited to dive into. In case you missed it earlier, Ja Reed was released by the Chiefs today. Saves about $2.8 million against the cap. Costs about $750,000. The Chiefs now, I believe, would climb up above $11 million in salary cap space. I think that's about right. So the Chiefs pick up some more salary cap space. I don't know where that's all going to get used, but I do think, as I mentioned earlier, I think the Chiefs are in a position where it would make a ton of sense for them to go trade for some sort of speed, preferably in the form of a wide receiver. I'd be surprised to see them do much to address the running back position. A couple of interesting speculations, a couple of interesting theories out there. I would be, at this point, most surprised, though, if they don't bring in some more aggressive playmakers. And if they don't bring in some cornerback help, the Chiefs can afford to do that financially now because they've got the salary cap space altogether, and they can afford to do it with their by form of draft picks because they've got them. Everybody's got them. The Chiefs have less than your average team right now because they've traded away for Reggie Ragland and for Cam Irving and for Patrick Mahomes. So they are working on a little bit of a shorter budget than most, but That ammunition is still there. Also, in that Reggie Ragland trade, Brett Veach showed that he's not afraid to trade picks from way down the road. If the Chiefs do find a team that's interested in shipping out one of their more veteran wide receivers or a receiver that just has a little bit higher of a cap value than they're willing to pay, the Chiefs could eat that salary cap space, and they could provide the draft pick to go get that guy. Same goes for any corner. Joe Hayden was a really interesting name, and unfortunately, he ends up in Pittsburgh, and his drop-off was so severe that I got to talk myself in either direction with the Joe Hayden conversation. But as we get closer to Saturday, whenever they're going to be 1,100 guys out of a job, the Chiefs are going to find pieces to add to this roster. So tonight, I'm looking at all those receivers. I'm looking at that battle. DeMarcus Robinson, Chontavious Jones, Marcus Kemp, Garrett Dieter. But there will be other names added to this team this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Whenever we come back, looking forward to talking to Matt Waldman. We are going to talk about Pat Mahomes. I'm not sure we've ever done that on this show. This might be a first for Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.